Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
That's the president from an hour ago at the White House. Sheriff Tom Dart is joining us from the County of Cook. Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate it. I know you've had a very busy day today. We've seen you all over the news. Before we get to what's happening here in Chicago, I just want to get your reaction to federal troops being potentially assigned here. And it's a little unclear the way that the president said it, because he nuanced it a few different ways. I mean, this could be a reference just to the National Guard that has already been activated by the governor, and that he would potentially federalize the Guard if the governor's not using them properly. That's sort of my sense of what he's trying to indicate here. What is your reaction to that?
Well, last time I checked, I don't believe he was ever a well-known expert in military affairs. And I think that's his personal history here. I'm a little bit confused because, for starters, there's no governor or elected official in any of the states that I've seen, and certainly not in this state, who's not trying everything they can to quell this. So the notion that if he makes some type of judgment that they aren't trying hard enough, I guess, then he's going to do something. And as you just said, I didn't understand what he was talking about, because, A, we have the National Guard already engaged in Chicago. Now, could there be more National Guard engaged here? Possibly, but that would be as a result of thoughtful people without political agendas who sat in a room and said, listen, the National Guard and the military can provide X and Y, because we all know the military can be very helpful in certain areas. Certainly fighting wars, there's no one better. But if we were fighting a war, put it this way, you wouldn't grab a narcotics unit, an attack unit, and say, hey, we'll just flip out that platoon and put the narcotics unit in there instead. No, and it's the same thing in the streets here. You cannot just interchange the military with the police. So it's got to be part of a thoughtful plan. And as I said, everybody in this state that I'm working with is trying desperately hard to try to stop this thing. So there's not lack of trying. If he has some additional resources that we're unaware of, then please let us know, and we'll be happy to talk with you about how we can plug things in. But that just leaves me more confused and scratching my head and wondering if it's, you know, trying to help or if it's more sort of posturing.
All right, so let's get back here to what's happening in Chicago. Obviously, you have got your buses out. Those look like school buses. They're not really school buses that say Cook County Sheriff on the side of them. They're being deployed throughout the city and the suburbs to pick up prisoners that are being picked up by Chicago police. 700, I believe, arrests have been made. How many of those arrests have made it to your facility at 26 in California?
Well, we have all those buses out, but we also have probably about 400, 500 of my police officers and another, I don't know, 200 or 300 deputies, something like that. We just have a lot of law enforcement officers out there working 12-hour shifts on the law enforcement thing, and then we got the jail component going as well. We've only seen about 150 of the arrests so far as of today come through the courts, and I think of that I have about 60, I think, about that have been kept in custody so far. But the bigger wave we're expecting tomorrow and the following day coming in. And that's based on just Chicago's numbers, which are a rolling thing because they're quite busy right now. And so the paperwork isn't exactly all catching up real quick. So we're not sure of that. But like in the suburbs last night, my folks, we rested 20 some people out in Harvey alone, and we were in multiple towns. So we'll have the suburban numbers coming in too. So we're going to have some numbers coming into jail, and you know what, I'll make space for them. I will make space for them.
You have space, and we've talked about that before, because of the a lot of the other things were happening prior to the pandemic and prior to any of this. There was, you had about 2/3 of your available bed space. That now the question that I keep getting here is, what's the process? So let's say a person gets arrested by police for, you know, whatever the civil charge is for, you know, civil unrest or whatever it is that they're doing, disturbing the peace. And then they're taken into custody and they are processed, and they have to be processed by the officer that arrests them. Right. And then does the state's attorney's office then make a determination, like a felony review kind of determination as to whether or not that person should be sent to you?
You know, if it's the lower level cases, which are the ones that traditionally would come in a legitimate protest as opposed to looting and rioting, the police officer can make that determination at the station themselves that this is just a misdemeanor, disorderly conduct. And then the state's attorney's office is not needed. Their involvement's not needed. And so those people, that determination will be made by that police officer, that department. They can set the bond right there. Frequently it's an I bond. And then they are only held at that local district station for that period of time, which can vary depending on how crowded they are, but usually it's less, you know, it's a handful of hours or something like that. For the other ones that are either felonies for sure, but some occasional misdemeanors, they will be either consulted with the state's attorney's office, most likely, occasionally, because they may not, but they'll end up all coming to 26th Street for a bond hearing.
And are there bond hearings going on now, given the pandemic?
Yes, there are. We've been doing those throughout this. That's been the one functioning of the court that has been consistently going on, and they've been going at it pretty well since the pandemic started. And they brought some extra judges on today, I believe, to handle the influx that they're going to have because the numbers are going to be substantially more, and there'll be substantially more tomorrow. So this will be something that, you know, as they say, that first determination, though, Roe, will be at that station. And I don't know how it'll break out. Usually the way it breaks out in something like this, the majority of those folks will be charged with misdemeanors, disorderly conduct type of things, and they will never make it to the jail.
But the looters, what happens with the looters? I think that's, people are so frustrated with the looters.
They're all coming my way. And those are the ones that we will make sure we have room for. Because even though I do have space, because of the pandemic, I've been required to, I was at the forefront of stopping the pandemic at the jail. We only have 29 people in the entire jail now who are positive out of 4,500. So we've done a couple things right, I suppose. But the reality of it is that we are, you know, having to keep all the social distancing, and then the federal court got involved to make it more fun for me. And so even though we have spaces, we can't fill these. So I'm looking at, I talked to people today about tents. I have a huge yard in Division One that I will put tents in to get people, socially distanced, but in custody.
Right. Because there has to be some consequence here. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm frustrated about. I hear the voices of people calling us who are very frustrated about it, that there's this notion that the Cook County State Attorney's Office just isn't prosecuting enough cases because the threshold had been, you know, raised to, you know, a certain number, a certain dollar amount that had to be stolen or whatever it is. And that there are people who do not feel consequences to going in and shoplifting or literally just walking into a store and walking out. Even prior to this looting action that we have just seen, now that there is looting, it is amazing to me. I'd like to get your reaction as a long time sheriff of Cook County, but you were a state legislator before that. You went to law school. I don't know what you did with that. You were a prosecutor for a while. What is your reaction? What is your reaction to watching people casually walk into a store through the broken glass or the broken doors and then just walking out with stuff and walking to their car like they just bought it, but they didn't?
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. There are so many legitimate reasons for people to be peacefully protesting about issues that have to be addressed that have not been addressed. For these people to hijack that and do it in the most beyond cynical way, they know that people are being stretched in a million directions. We're already getting intel that some of these people are coming from well out of state because they realize this is their opportunity to steal. And that's what they're doing. And that's why these people will be locked up. They will be locked up. I just don't see a scenario where they're not. And the other part of that coin is the court system shut down. So the notion that they're going to have some type of speedy resolution of their case, that's not going to happen. So you go ahead and do it. You're going to get arrested. You're going to get locked up. And your case is, you're going to be with us for a while.
Right. And Cook County Jail. If you're from Ohio, Cook County Jail is no picnic. I would just like to say that because one of the things that they were chasing, I was on the scanner last night, were they were chasing an Ohio plate that they thought was involved in hitting a police officer. So it's like, you know, who are these people and why are they here? I mean, we have a number of homegrown knuckleheads. We don't need imported knuckleheads on top of our own. We got enough. We're good.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
These are just criminal opportunists, and it's disgusting, and people have every reason to be outraged. And, you know, as I say, my folks, certainly CPD, these other departments, are trying so hard. They are, and the restraint people are showing, absolutely amazing.
Tom Dart, Sheriff, Cook County, thank you very much. That does it for this edition of the Rokan Show. We're back here.